Welcome to Facing Fear with Sarah. My name is Sarah McInerney Hawk. I am your host. I went from 30 flirty and thriving to 30 flirty and surviving. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 30, and prior to that, I had faced a lot of fears in life, which led me to creating this podcast in 2019. Fast forward, here we are many years later, and I've interviewed over 100 different guests with many stories of how they face fear while remaining unapologetically authentic. That is what we are here to do, encourage you to live your life unapologetically and authentically. The Facing Fear world recently got a little bit bigger because a new part of it is in the world, and that's my book, my very first book. It's called Does Carcinoma Mean Cancer? It covers the 4 days between being tested for cancer and finding out that I had it, and the funny things that happened in between. Well, you know, funny, happy, sad, etc. It can be found anywhere on Amazon, and it's a graphic memoir, which means it is 70% art, 30% text, and it's 74 pages long. So it's something you could read in one sitting, revisit multiple times because the art has a lot of dual meanings, and I'm so proud of it. Go check it out on Amazon or facingfearwithsarah.com/book. All right, let's get into this week's episode. Yep, you read that right, folks. The one, the only, Emily Schramm is on the Facing Fear podcast today. For those of you who have known me for years, you know why this is a big deal to me. And she's literally someone I used to watch on TV, spontaneously ended up meeting, and now she's someone I call friend. Like, life can be wild sometimes, and the universe is so fucking awesome. Okay, so I have to give a backstory before we get into the interview. I want to tell you, you know, why she's amazing to me, how I got to know her. And then I want to tell you what's coming next for the podcast. And then I want to tell you about a book club that I'm launching with the podcast. So, all right, backstory. I was originally introduced to Emily through MTV's The Challenge. I feel like people either know this show right away or they have no clue. So for my peeps who have no clue, this show was born from MTV's Real World. Remember back in the day, it was where they took, you know, 10 strangers and they put them in the same like big ass penthouse apartment and they all lived in a city and they had jobs. You know, Jersey Shore is kind of like that. But Real World was one of the first reality shows and it was incredibly successful, blah, blah, blah. They did it all over the country and Emily was actually on that in DC. Then they took the Real World people and put them on a competitive challenge show. My husband and I have been watching this show forever, and Emily competed on it for the first time, I think, all the way back in 2010. So I was graduating high school at that time. Up until then, I didn't have any female idols or icons I really loved. Like, you know, a lot of people grow up with their favorite athlete or Olympian or actress or like social media influencer. I really didn't have anybody that I was like a major fan of. And honestly, Emily was the first person I became a true fan of. She showed up to these shows fit as hell, competitive, and took it seriously. Now, keep in mind, this is an MTV show, so naturally, half of it is drinking, partying, and drama. You know, of course, everybody's a part of that. You can't help it. But through my eyes, Emily was there to compete. And her gun show, aka her very muscly arms, really caught my attention, and I just saw like a lot of myself in her. Turns out we both have the same favorite number. It's number 8. Just saying. A vibe is a vibe. Okay, so she had a really successful career on that show. She became a champion of it, a finalist of a few seasons, and then the winner of Champs versus Star. That was in 2018. It was the spinoff show where they took challenge cast members and put them up against professional athletes to compete to win money for charity. And Emily won, like the badass she is. If you can't tell, The Challenge is one of my favorite shows. They do these insane physical challenges that most people would fear, but I swear every single episode I'm like internally screaming, like, please let me try that. Throw me off a bus. I want to go 100 feet up in the air over water. I want to go underwater, like the whole thing. I want to do it so badly. But truthfully, I think I would be terrible because I'm a horrible liar and people would look at me and be like, let's get her. She's mentally weak. And I'd be like, you're right. Plus, I have all the intentions in the world applying for Survivor. So that's a whole other thing. Okay, anyways, Emily went on to be the Women's Health Magazine's Next Fitness Star in 2015, and then she started multiple lines of business in the fitness world. She is the inventor of the workout tool of my dreams. Pre-cancer, I used to be physically insane. I'm talking taking hikes or planning an outdoor workout with a backpack full of rocks that I could either carry on my back or throw around as weight. Emily drops into the world and invents the M-Pack. It's a workout fitness backpack that has like handles galore, and it uses water reservoirs as weight. And I swear she was reading my mind with this invention. I became a social media ambassador for the product, loved it so much, and just really kind of got to interact with her community online, which was lovely, of course. So in 2017, a few years later, I randomly happened to see Emily post on her Instagram stories that she was headed to my state. She's lived in Denver forever, and while I love my state and my city so much, I'm not going to lie, it's not like top places to see in the US. So I freaked out. I was like, what is going on? So it turns out she was going to be the keynote speaker at this women's conference in Bloomington, which is about an hour and a half south of Indy. I think I saw this post on a Wednesday night, and the conference was Thursday, Friday. I had the best boss in the world at the time, so shout out Marty Posh. I told him, so sorry, I will not be at work for the next 2 days. I will be driving to Bloomington on my own little adventure. And then I enlisted anybody who I think could help me like make this happen. So, you know, like buying a last minute ticket. This was a pretty nice conference, so it wasn't the cheapest thing in the world. And then I had nowhere to stay. And my superhero came in the form of my pal, Sevi Romero. He gave me hotel points so I would have somewhere to stay, literally as I was making the drive down. Thank you, Sevi. You're amazing. So little did I know, she, myself, and another amazing woman I would meet, KO, ended up meeting at the conference. We went out to dinner and enjoyed a night out on the town. Like, imagine seeing someone on TV who you respect the shit out of, you know, watching them on social media for years, and then meeting and hanging out with them all night. Like, what is life? One of the most fun nights of my life. Okay, so at this point, you're probably like, ooh, yikes, dude, chill. But I swear, I actually had a little bit of interaction with celebrities prior to meeting Emily, thanks to my job at Finish Line at the time. And I want to insert a quick, like, facing fear life lesson here. If you're ever at a conference or, I don't know, like a sports event or a TED Talk or, you know, just somebody who you majorly respect is in the room and you start to think to yourself, oh, well, you know what? I'm just so lucky I got to be here. I'm just lucky to be in the audience. I don't want to go have them sign my book or my jersey or whatever it is. Like, I'll just leave. Like, no, get up and go wait in line. Like, skip out on your next thing to meet this person. It is absolutely worth it. That's what happened to me. After Emily did her keynote, I had no expectations, but I was like, oh my gosh, wow, cool. This was amazing. I'm in the same room as her. And then stuck around afterwards, hit it off with, unbeknownst to me, the person who actually brought her to Denver, KO, and the three of us had an amazing night. And somewhere in Bloomington, in a bar that I believe is under the restaurant called The Farm, or it's called like Farm to Table or something, you could like sign the, it's like your classic college bar where like the ceiling is unfinished and the walls are all brick and it's in the basement of this building. But the three of us were down there and we signed one of the like posts in there. I should definitely go back and find that. But anyways, back to the story. Oh, I do have to tell a side story here. So one of the celebrities I had actually interacted with before Emily was another person from the challenge, probably the most famous person, Johnny Bananas. I met him at a Special Olympics event with some Finish Line peeps, and it was quite hilarious interaction because we met him and his crew like during the day, cool, whatever, fan of you, great. And then that same night, we ran into him and his crew at a bar. And so, you know, it's like me and my little Finish Line friends, him and his peeps, whatever. And he actually comes over to us and I'm like, oh my God, here he comes. And he's like, hey, what's up? You guys are the Foot Locker people, right? Face, palm. But it's because he saw me and like put his hand on my shoulder and was like, Foot Locker people, right? It's because my loser, terrible at fashion ass was wearing black Air Force Ones, black jeans, you know, skinny jeans too, because that was the thing. What year was this in? This was 2015? Yeah, I think so. And a striped tank top that was literally lateral stripes, so like up and down, black and white. I could not look more like I just walked out of the mall. Loser. Anyways, my fashion has drastically changed since then, I can assure you. But it's thanks to Finish Line and Special Olympics. I have gotten to meet some celebrities in the past. And so I swear, even though I probably sound a little crazy, I did keep my cool upon meeting Emily. I think she would agree because we are now friends today. Fast forward to this time last year. The beginning of 2023 for me was very rough. Coming down from defeating breast cancer was very hard for me. It's kind of like being the most popular kid in school and then transferring schools where nobody cares and nobody knows your story, which is like the best and worst thing in the world, right? So anyways, I was like really in deep with depression, anxiety, and nothing was helping. So anyways, one day I'm scrolling social media and she says that she is going to host a retreat for the first time in years in Joshua Tree. And the theme, sure enough, is healing. Being present, focusing on anything, my outlook on life was so bleak. And this just sounded like a gift from the gods. So Emily shares that she's only taking a few people because it's going to be a really small, intimate, you know, female only gathering. And so, you know, here's the link to apply. And I was like, eh, screw it. Like, why not? So I apply. Sure enough, luckily I get in. So I'm like, oh shit. I have 4 weeks to figure out how I'm going to get to Joshua Tree. Luckily, between some points, between some friends helping me out, I was able to go on an epic weekend of healing that I absolutely, absolutely needed. So I'm going to pause right here for a moment because I have never really recapped that trip out loud. And so coming next on the pod, I'm going to do a solo episode of talking about that trip and what it meant to me and what I learned. And then I also want to share my experience of doing a plant medicine ceremony for the first time. So what it was like to interact with Mother Mushroom, as we call her, and how that went for me. And yeah, super excited. So sorry, Mom. I think you might be hearing that for the first time, but it was a great experience. Positive, lovely, loving. There were tears shed, but anywho. So that's going to come next on the pod. And then I'm going to interview someone who was on that retreat. Her name is Amanda. She is lovely. She kind of came into the retreat like me, a little bit shy, a little bit unsure of where we are in life. And she and I have reconnected lately. So I'm super excited for you guys to hear from her and her perspective on the retreat. And then, yeah, it's really lovely how this has turned out to be dropping this episode with Emily. Going to share more about this experience that happened almost a year ago. And go from there. So today we've got Emily, coming soon we've got Amanda. And then I also want to tell you guys about a book club that I am starting with Amanda. We are going to read and record chapter by chapter our thoughts on the book Financial Feminist. I have wanted to talk about the fear of money for so long, but never really known how to do so. And on top of Amanda being so lovely and coming on the pod, she also is going to do this show with me. So if you want to join us, please do. The book is called Financial Feminist. Wait, yes. Financial Feminist by Tori Dunlap. It's a book that came out in 2022, I think. So you can get it used somewhere. I know you can rent it from the library. Get the audiobook. I have it as an ebook on my Remarkable, so I'm reading and taking notes that way, but feel free to join us. We're going to drop some episodes and our thoughts about that. And what a better, you know, way to kick off 2024 is by talking about facing fears and money and all the things. Whew. Okay, longest intro ever. On today's episode, Emily and I actually don't talk about the challenge at all. We had so much more to say. This podcast could have been a 9-parter, I swear. But for a woman who owns multiple businesses, is on the move, living her best van life, we had to condense this all into one. So if you want more challenge, background, history, thoughts from Emily, because that may be how you know her, she is one of the goats of the show. I have linked an interview she did on the Mike Lewis podcast that talks all about that. But today we're getting the most beautiful conversation. We're going to talk about keeping our hearts open, a little bit about Joshua Tree, and what's next for Emily. I'm so lucky to call her a friend. So honored our universes have collided. I hope they do again in the future. And I hope you enjoy this beautiful episode with the one, the only, Emily Schramm. All right. Well, let's get started. Well, thank you so much for being here. I have Miss Emily Schramm on the podcast today. Emily is a creator, entrepreneur, and lover of Mother Earth. She's working on a new venture to help localize food systems, and she empowers all that she meets to heal themselves so they can simultaneously heal the world. Thank you for being here.
You're so welcome, Sarah. It's so good to see your face.
Oh, thank you. I know this is really nice. Okay, I have to ask, when you submitted the pre-interview thing, you know, I have my guest type out some stuff. In what I just read, you spelled out empowers all she meets, M-E-A-T-S. And as our local meathead hippie, I have to know if that was on purpose or not.
No, it wasn't on purpose. And I have a whole thing about meat for sure that we could go on a tangent.
That's why I was like, wait a minute. Was I supposed to pick up this Easter egg or no?
No, that was definitely not. But I do find how funny it is that people don't know what meathead is. It's where, depending on where I go, if I'm wearing like a meathead hippie swag, mm-hmm. there's some really confused looks of like, what is meathead? And I'm like, it just means I love bicep curls. It just means I love going to the gym. And they're like, oh, okay. That makes so much more sense. So it is sometimes a funny conversation. Some people get it, but some people still don't quite know what that means.
I just thought that was so funny. I like reread it and I was like, wait, M-E-A-T-S. Well, there you go. If you want to, you know, keep an Easter egg out in the world, you can do that in your little intro.
I don't think I will, because I have so much. The whole thing about nutrition and wellness, and one of the things that I notice the most is like we get trapped in these little cycles. And right now, so much of what people see is about protein. And I think that's super important to understand mm-hmm. how much protein we're eating and how it satiates us and what it does for our brain and how it helps our body in every way. Right. But there's not enough of the conversation about the sacrifice that must be taken in order for protein to be in our body. And that means a death, right? It's a really intense death. And if you are not somebody used to that life and death cycle, or if you haven't actually had the process of having a harvest of an animal, I just don't think you should engage in it at all. So it's really important for you to know where your meat comes from if you do eat it, for you to really be in reverence of that and just be in such more respect of the food that we eat in general. You know, it's something that's not casual. It should never be casual. And I think sometimes it's talked so cavalierly, which is just an example of like how we take our individual systems and we forget that there's a much bigger world outside of us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually got the opportunity to learn a little bit more about that and appreciate that when I got to go on your retreat in March in Joshua Tree. And I remember when I was telling people about it, I was saying, you know, we're going to have fish that literally the person Emily is bringing as the chef is bringing with her, meat that the person who was bringing all of this stuff, her name was Jaylene, she, you know, was a participant in the death of those animals herself. And it was so cool and interesting. And I think there is a respectful way to go about it. And mm-hmm. you've definitely taught me that. So I will point you guys to Meathead Hippie, which is Emily's podcast. I'll link it in the show notes. And just everything she's saying is how she, you know, has taught me about me and others. And it's a really cool balance of meathead hippie. That's like there's no better way to say that when it comes to appreciating food and protein, like you were saying. So
yeah, totally.
I think that was good little elaboration.
<Thank you.
laughs> I do want to talk about Joshua Tree a little bit, but we got to pause for a second. And I need to say a happy belated birthday.
It's so sweet. Thank you. Thank you, my lovely Leo, that you are. I'm 35, which is such a fun, it's fun to watch cycles. I think we're like, we're always in a million cycles and we can't even pretend to keep up because we're just humans floating on a rock. But I do feel that the 7-year cycles are really fun. So 7, 14, 21, 28, 35. So
oh, yeah.
35 is like a start of a new 7-year cycle. And I think all of us are kind of stepping into this new phase. We had some kind of crazy last few years that really paused us more than we wanted to be. And then most of our issues came from resisting the pause because we as humans don't know how to pause. And so there is this opening again of like what 2024 is and setting intention with it and just having just such a, I think for all of us, no matter 7-year cycle or not, there's some powerful stuff about to happen. And it's so activating. I think we feel it. We're drawn to it. You know, all of us are drawn to something for a reason. We're like, I want more from life. I want more from this experience. I want more from my job. I want more from my partner. And so when we can really turn inward and like do the work so that that's reflected, it's like, it is powerful. So I feel for all of us, we're about to step into some big, big shit.
What do you feel leading up to your birthday? And as you look ahead into this 35th chapter, like what do you, Emily, feel about that? And what do you think is kind of coming for you now that you've kind of spoken in grander terms?
Totally. Yeah. I think, well, 34, like I said, it was like in my head, I thought it was going to be so much different than it was. I thought it was going to be kind of a foundational building year. And I thought it was going to be the start of something that I was ready for it to start. And it wasn't ready for it to start, right? Because our timing is so much different than the timing of what's bigger and at play. And I had to give myself so much grace, which is why being in the van was the most impactful thing I could have done. Just like separate, you know, just go in a van for a year, drive around, go to these places, don't have an agenda, just flow, surrender, try to find that stability within self as much as I could in order to really cultivate that foundation that I thought would be in physical form through business or through partnership or whatever it was, you know? So for me, that looked like really coming to terms with cleaning up what I had created the last 12 years. So I have been in this industry, in this world. I don't even know what to call it. It's just, I've been myself for, I've publicly been myself for 14 years now. And then had the wonderful opportunity to build 6 businesses from that and all small and all kind of the same in wellness. And one of them being the gym that I owned in Denver. And so really like, okay, this is me. Regardless of what happens to this gym, I know I no longer want to be a part of it. I know I want to separate from, you know, in astrology terms, we would call it like the North Node, South Node. We've talked about this a little bit, but
okay,
if you look at your astrology chart, your natal chart, so it just takes your birth date, your birth time, same as human design, right? You can look for these two things called the nodes, and there's a South Node and a North Node. And so people talk about them in different ways. It's kind of like two dragons always chasing each other. So the South Node is really where we came from. So we probably mastered the South Node. So I can pull up your chart too and see if I can find yours. The South Node is like what we're really comfortable in. We're learning the final lessons of in the first half of our life, but our calling and our purpose and our kind of our, what we're pushed towards and what we're getting gravitated towards is always going to be our North Node. And these are on opposite sides of the astrology chart. So they couldn't be more opposite. So it's just this testament to what we're most comfortable in is not what we're supposed to be doing. It's a complete polar shift. And I think in this phase that we're in, a lot of us are going through, I'm really comfortable here. I'm really good at this. I know I could do this for the rest of my life, but it's not satisfying. And that is absolutely what my South Node was in the gym world, in the physical world. And I obviously adore helping people one-on-one. I love helping people be empowered with their own awakening. You know, this is like something I love to work with people one-on-one in that way. But there's also a big shift to help people understand that we're so much more than our physical body. And until I was able to really let go of the physical gym, which is a representation of the physical body, there was no way that that North Node was going to open up for me in the way that I've been asking it. So it was a lot of stepping out of the South Node, closing chapters, closing businesses, selling the gym, leaving the comfort in every way, and kind of stepping into, okay, I don't know what, I don't know how, I kind of see, I kind of feel, I just have to trust. I have to arms open, heart open, stay open, trust, because I did the work. There's a lot of closure. And so I'm so, to kind of answer your question of what that looks like for 35, even though I could say I know, I don't know, but yeah. It does have a lot to do with really helping people open up and understand that our individual health, it's all a mirror, right? The world is a mirror to our own physical body. From the minerals that we contain, from the water that we contain in our physical body, we're just tiny, tiny little earths in the giant earth, right? And so if we are looking at making the world a better place, or, you know, participating in the world in a way that, I know this is so true for you, like your Leo heart, like giving back and taking care of the world, especially the underdogs and the people who are underserved and the people who need it the most, like that desperate desire to be a participant in a positive way. We have to look internally and do that internally in order for us to all collectively make it better, you know? And so it's just so important. Like, we're so concerned with macros and micros and workout routines. And I get it. I've totally been there. But when we're so looking down, how can we look up? And I think our greatest joy, our greatest creativity, and this is such a huge piece of what I talk about, is our creative expression. It is activated when it's reciprocity. It's activated when there's a give back, there's an exchange, it's a participation. And we just don't experience that at the individual. So I feel collectively and in my own world, there's so much opening up of this constant exchange and this give back, which is life force. It allows us to have energy for those things that are really hard that we wouldn't be able to do individually. And we can open up those doors and it feels so good. It just feels so good to know that we're all stepping into that.
Oh my gosh, not this going from a podcast interview to like a one-on-one with you, because like a lot of what you were saying, of course, I'm thinking about my own life, and I've like kind of made a lot of those like ticks myself too, letting go of something that was super comfortable, even though everything was telling me not to, logically, being super open. I've never been more open than I have over this past year. And then I think too, like, when I zoom out on your life and hearing you talk about letting go of something that so represented you, the gym, the physical body and everything, like, you know, of course I found out and learned about you on a physical challenge show. Then I saw you do all this stuff with CrossFit, and then I saw you open your own gym. And then now I've seen you go through this evolution of, wow, you really are closing some major chapters. I only got to visit your gym once, but when I saw you were closing it, I was like, oh snap, like she's doing stuff. So I feel like you just wrapped up so beautifully how you're kind of evolving and letting go of those things. And I've experienced the same with my journey with cancer. Like, prior to cancer, I really liked myself. My body and my physical abilities were a huge ego wall for me to stand on. And it was awesome. I had the best fucking view ever from up there. And then that all got kind of knocked down. And I'm starting to let go of things that have kind of held up these walls around me. And I definitely see you doing that. And now just talking to you, like, painting a better picture of, wow, yeah, we are letting go and being open. And that's actually one of the things that you said when I asked in my pre-show interview, you know, how have you faced fear? And you touched on a few of those things. So I want to ask a little bit more specific. So one being the career aspect, because we've both kind of done this in very different ways, having a very successful career and pivoting. I was at a corporate job for 9 years where type A Sarah absolutely loved it. And I let go, which I'm very thankful, grateful, happy I freaking did. I needed to do it. Yeah. But you had said, you know, I had a very successful career and I've decided it's no longer in alignment. So that sounds like a pivot you made in 34 and kind of want to keep moving towards in 35. So what does that look like for you? How did that go?
Well, this actually happened in the pandemic. So this is 2020. So really wonderful, like kind of on paper and in execution, like there was nowhere else for me to go. Like I had started these businesses. I really loved what I was doing. It was herbal tea, an herbal tea company. I had a backpack company that turned into a weight training bag. And I also had a bunch of online training that I was doing one-on-ones with, and then the gym. So there was just like so many fun, beautiful, creative expressions that I was doing. When COVID happened, it was such, I mean, before I always pick an animal of the year. Mm-hmm. And January happened. I remember doing like a book reading, and I had just launched the book, and it was just such a powerful way for me to step into like, okay, this is the process. This is what I go through. You know, when you put these things into writing, they become mantras almost. They're really, there's something quite profound about the book, right? And so so having this like, okay, what's my word of the year? And I've been so manic, and I know my magic comes from my manic, but there could be another way. There could be another way. And I've been writing about this. I've been understanding it. I've lived it a little bit, but I'm open. And I picked panther as the word of the year, which is like super isolated and in the jungle and in the darkness. Ooh. And then COVID happened, and then it was pandemic, and it was bam. And it was like, you called this in.
Seriously,
you
know,
I very much had to go into the darkness of what that meant and who I was, and the shadow work, right? That's what a lot of this is us, we're trying to pull all of ourselves out of you know, who we think we should be and who other people think we are, and projections. And we just really want to get to know our whole self. And we say that and we feel that, but yet we still really don't tap into those hard emotions that allow us to embody and accept the hardest, darkest parts. So the shadow work, I think, is so important. So to do that, there needed to be silence. There needed to be quiet. And it was just one after the other, just cut, 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 drop, drop, drop. I'm done with all of this. And it was so intense, and it was so different, and it was radical. And it was also really, really healing, because it helped me, similar to what you said about your body and kind of what that physical form represented. You know, anything tangible in physical form is just an expression of something energetic, right? So if we go through injury, there's an energetic cause, no matter what we think. Like, there's always something deeper at play. So having this understanding of like, okay, these businesses obviously held my ego up, or they were my ego. They became my identity. Mm-hmm. And I don't like boxes. I felt like all of a sudden I was like, it was MTV Emily. It was personal trainer Emily. It was entrepreneur Emily. And I didn't even want to be labeled as an entrepreneur. I wanted all of it. I wanted no idea. I wanted nothing. I wanted to get, you know, lose myself so quickly. And I did it so intensely. And then this was the last couple of years was like the final cleanup, right? Yeah. So we think it's going to happen sooner than it is. But it's been so beautiful to reflect upon, because what it has done is make sure that my heart and my alignment, like deep, deep healing in order for me to serve in the way that I know I'm capable of, and deep, deep understanding of what that manic was, and what it is to take manic and creative expression and constant of like idea, and to really just embody self and be so in alignment with like, nothing needs to be done. Nothing I do, I mean, it does matter, but like, fuck, I need to chill. Like, there's really, this is important, right? So that it just, and then how the doors open up. So this is where we get into human design. So taking it from astrology to human design, especially you as a generator, me as a generator, having the ability to use our sacral, and that's the, you know, in chakra terms or human design terms, our creative power, like our sensual badass power, to be able to say, I'm setting these intentions and I trust that they will come to me. I trust that these opportunities will come to me because I'm going to clean up everything that might get in the way of these being attracted to me, right? And that's scary because it makes you sit, it makes you wait, it makes you be patient, it makes you feel like you're not doing enough, it makes you feel lazy from stereotypical, you know, the culture that we live in, this kind of masculine energy, but even toxic femininity can happen too, like badass boss bitch is just as toxic as a go, 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 never take day off work kind of masculine, you know, so there's just so much about this learning that comes from the rest and then the reciprocity and the receiving. And it all comes back to the metaphor of gardening and food, right? Like how earth works is how we should work. And we just don't want to because it doesn't move fast enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just really respecting. And the more that you get your hands in dirt and the more you watch a seed grow into a sprout and then a sprout grow into a food, the more you just have this deep reverence for the timing that our own healing takes. And also this deep appreciation of like, fuck, I've only lived in the past and I've only lived in the future. I have no idea how to really be present. And there's nothing greater than, you know, how it is with one-on-ones or being in, you know, relationship, like no greater gift can be given than our presence. And that's something that's so profound that I just am excited to explore more of.
Oh, that is so true. And I feel like what happened for you with your six lines of business and then the pandemic and rethinking everything, that's what happened for me with cancer. Like, it was this e-break that I didn't know I needed to be pulled. I didn't want it to be pulled. I didn't pull it, but you know, the universe kind of brought it to me. And I think, you know, I just feel so similar in that journey that you've had with what's going on with my life. Like, I have never slowed down enough. And this is one of my favorite visuals from your book that I constantly think about. And it's page 196, but I'll show you in case you don't have it in front of you. But oops, it's the shovel versus the lawnmower. Mm. Of like, are you going to be brave enough to slow down and dig up some shit and get messy and get dirty and put your hands in the soil? Or are you just going to keep lawn mowing over it? And yeah. Oh, like this is one of my favorite visuals ever. I have a ton of notes on the page, obviously, but I think it just so relates to the same thing about how we live and move about life is not really in pace with the earth and how the earth is and plants and all of that, because we would rather take this man-made machine that goes fast and uses gas and can just mow over and make everything perfect, mm-hmm. rather than look around our yard and see what needs to be dug up, redone, and all of that. So one of my favorite things. And yeah, you have the shovel versus the lawnmower. And what she says on this page is, more depth requires more time, more effort, more attention. Maybe demanding more depth is as simple as asking, what is the intention? And I think so many of us are lawnmowers when we should probably get out that fucking shovel.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that. I haven't seen that in so long. And I have so much more farming experience since I wrote that. And it's so funny because, like, one, why, what is the intention is so important because it requires us to sit and really contemplate, right?
Yes.
Like, wait, why am I doing this? Wait, why am I? What is the purpose of this? And then you can really understand, oh, this is coming from a fear. This is coming from a fear that will continue to play out in this pattern form until I dig it out, right? So this idea of like, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Well, what is the intention? And is it, oh, it's coming from love and it's coming from expansiveness and it's coming from this deep desire to give, or it's coming from an insecurity. It's coming from a feeling that I have that I'm not doing enough, you know, and you can just really learn so much so quickly from that. And then what I also love is when we think about I'm reading this really good book called Food Not Lawns. And it's just it's just an old book. It's just about getting people to grow gardens and understanding, you know, this new venture I'm working on, Peel, how we can really tap into the food supply chain. But what's so interesting is lawn mowing, even though we just see it as like, let's manicure it. And what you said, it destroys biodiversity and ecosystems. So it's even more important for us to all pick up the motherfucking shovel, you know?
Yes. And I've seen, like, over the summer, the trend of people turning their big fat lawns into wildfire havens or wildfire, wildflower havens, and what good that has done. And I tell you what, I'm looking around at my yard because I'm, you know, privileged enough to live in a house, and I'm like, Jacob, that's my husband, obviously, we may need to be rethinking some stuff, and I know he's going to be resistant, but on my page, so under the shovel, I have just words under the shovel, words under the lawnmower. Under the shovel, I wrote dig deep, and then I have learn, rocky, smooth, thick, colors, pathway unknown, discover, explore, new. Under the lawnmower, I have same old, same destination, same goal, same standard, same result, same style, same color, same expectations. And then I kind of like summed it up under the two as known versus unknown. Do you want to live the rest of your life in this known box, or maybe start digging up some stuff that is going to be rocky, not smooth, different colors you've never seen before, but go get that unknown. And I was looking at your social media last night, and in one of your captions, you had wrote, like, we have one fucking life. That is it. Mm-hmm. So get out your shovel and see what's out there, because that's it. That's it. So I love this page so much. And I think it's so applicable to my life before and definitely after cancer, and, you know, what you were mentioning about intention, for sure.
Oh, that's good. And just a quick thought, because, like, the known, unknown, and digging, mm-hmm. and when we move into this world of, like, building, and we are builders, we're building our life, we're building an idea into form, whatever it is. To have this metaphor of beaver, I keep thinking of a beaver while you're talking. Like, a beaver, we see them as hard workers and they're building dams, but they're changing ecosystems. I mean, they really are going from, you know, this known territory, this known lake, to, like, this is completely radically shifting something in order for us to build a home. So there has to be that level of commitment into something. Like, we tend to dabble and then kind of pull out, or we dabble and we're like, that was enough. It's like, mm-hmm. there's more. There's so much more there. There's so much more that we can commit to and surrender and to, yeah, reshape. There's a definite reshaping. Like, if your life looks the same as it did a year ago, we're not doing a good job, you know?
Yeah.
We need to reevaluate.
Which is so opposite to everything we learned in school or college or whatever, because it was like, line this shit up, have a 5-year plan, have a 10-year plan, start saving money, and that, like, and all, there's a point to that for sure. And I did it for 29 years. And then I had this crazy interruption that, truthfully, I am better for. And that involves a lot of change. And I've never been so, so open to change in my whole life. And it's thanks to this eruption. And so I hope that, you know, people don't need to have this interruption in life like cancer that I did to do stuff. So hopefully they can understand and get some tools from you. And of course, I'll link everything in the show notes of this, of watching you do what you've done is really inspiring and can help mm-hmm. other people take that turn too. Instead of looking down, have enough, you know, inward confidence to look up and out and see how you can be of service and give back and create.
Create. That's it. It's like so, so important for us to recognize our creative power. And, like, we're here to create. Humans create. That's how we exist in this world. That's how we've had any success staying human on this earth, is because we're in constant evolution and constant change, and constant creative expression is not just something cool and something nice. It's a divine right. It's our existence. It's our entire ability. Like, it's just so, it's vital. It's non-negotiable to be creatives.
Yeah. And I love, you know, your new kind of, I don't know if you want to call it like mission statement or bio, in that you said you want to help people heal themselves so they can heal the world. Cause that is very obviously needed. So I'm excited for you.
Thanks, Boo. I'm excited too. We're good.
Okay. So I want to touch on another fear that you had listed in the pre-show thing. And you said, a way that I face fear is by remaining open even when the world tells me to close. And so I want to see if you would elaborate on that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is so collective. Like all of us are experiencing this data that says to shut down, this input that says you doing this isn't working. You might as well just stop. And that could be disappointment. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, deep grief of what was, what you thought would be. There's so much that wants us to close, right? The world is built on a society that's closed. I think it profits off of closure, right? Isolation and closure. So the goal, I think, in my own life, in my own reflections and in my meditations, it's like, am I open? Can I feel that coherency? And there's some powerful stuff about our heart coherency and how strong it is and how it can dictate our entire day by how strong this coherence is, if it is indeed in alignment. And even our brain responds to our heart coherency. So when we're looking at healing and we're looking at being the best vibration we can be and attracting what we want, any of these things that we hear about, it's like, it really comes down to this space in our chest, this heart chakra, this heart place, which is front and back. And it is always, always instinctively trying to protect itself. And this is the part of in the book about the armor that we hold. Most of our work in our life is to understand the armor we carry, we no longer need anymore. And it's so important for us to understand, one, why did I even have this armor in the first place? Because if we don't understand it, we'll never let it go. It'll always want to come back. It'll always be our default. So if we have something that happens in our life, we shut down. If we have something come at us that we're not ready for, we shut down. And so our hope is that it's like, even in those instincts, we catch it, we understand it, and we really start piece by piece to stay as open as possible so that we can live this life that is in alignment with that same frequency of our heart, which is so abundant and so giving and so joyous. And so it's life force, right? Like that's it. And so in my own life, it's so about the disappointment of like, mm-hmm. okay, if I'm going to close down this gym, then that means this door is going to open up immediately. And this is going to be really clear. And I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that. And it just doesn't work that way.
No, it does not.
Uh-uh. It doesn't. So just this deep, beautiful understanding of the healing that we all need in our heart, in our heart space. And that's really what the Joshua Tree Retreat was so about, is like, how do we get into those places that are so deep and so, oh, they're so hard to touch because we don't want to touch them. That's the core. Like, why are we even worrying about this superficial bullshit? Like, go to the core, get the fucking shovel. And that's all heart space, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So a few things. I just wrote a poem last night about armor. And the way that I wrote it was, I had this armor on my whole life. It was pretty. I shined it up. Then cancer kind of came in like a cannonball and cracked it. But to get up and go back to the battle, I had to put Band-Aids all over it. So I talked about taking those Band-Aids off and not needing them anymore and how fucking scary that is. So, yeah. Oh my gosh, armor. Totally get that. another thing that when you were saying, you know, when one door closes, the other opens. Absolutely with you. I do not believe that at all. People doors just don't open just because. So when I actually do speaking engagements and I talk about facing fear, one of my tips for people to remember is that when one door closes, you have to get up and go knock at the next, like period. It's not just going to open for you. So I totally agree with you on that, that when you close one door, it's not going to be this clear, beautiful horizon on the other end.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes yes. It totally is, which is magic, but it's not often.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that actually, we're just jumping all over the place with the book and the retreat. And I want to ask you a million things, but I got to bring up another visual because it has to do with doors. This was all I could visualize when I was trying to leave my corporate job.
Page 151.
She knows. Did you get the book out?
Oh no, that's you know the that number. When I see that number, yes. When I see that number on the clock, when I see it in an exit, I'm like, oh shit.
Yes. Shit.
I didn't shut a door. What door am I not shutting? That's like my omen for sure.
I have to show you my little note with this one. If you can see the little pink note, it's kind of hard to see. Sorry, because of Zoom. But my little pink note on this page says shit. I'll describe the visual, but I'm also going to drop it in the show notes so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But on page 151, as we know by heart from Emily's book, there is a visual of two doors. One is still open behind the person, and they have a ball and chain tethered to their ankle, and they're trying to open this new door in front of them. Mm-hmm. And the text that she puts underneath it says, waiting to open the new door, wondering why it won't open. This is such a like, duh, bitch, come on kind of moment, which is why I wrote shit, because I was like, shit, I'm scared. Shit, that's me. Shit, what's next? You know?
Yes. And it's so good because this, all the things we talked about, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm in my North Node phase. All I can see is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to create it. And yet I still had so much South Node baggage, and it was beautiful baggage. It was, mm-hmm. it created,
bittersweet.
Mm-hmm. It turned me into who I am.
Yes.
But there was a deep understanding of like, oh yeah, this is like, we don't get to ask the universe for these big things and the universe not to ask us big things.
Yes.
Back.
Yeah.
Right. This is a whole cut, not a partial cut.
Yep.
This is a whole severage. And it feels sometimes like you're like decapitated, but that's actually the point, is to like be so good with who you are that you can like almost cut off your own head to reevaluate where you need to go. That
yes.
door is so yeah, this is a real thing. The EMS process isn't because I figured it out, it's because this is what I go through consistently.
Yes. And that's why my freaking book has all these notes, and I've gone back and looked at certain things or kind of read it again from start to finish, and I have so many notes. I should probably get a second copy because I think it would be really cool for me to go back through it post-cancer, because I'm a very yeah. different person, and kind of see how, you know, these things have related and whatnot. From it came out in 19 or 20?
Oh, 19.
September
yeah. 2019. Yeah.
Okay. 19.
No, wait.
Yeah.
No. Sorry. December 2019. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was December 2nd. It was when Jupiter moved. I like follow Jupiter cycles.
Yeah.
So Jupiter had just, if you ever want to launch, I also, by the way, I just saw that your book is ready for pre-order.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
This is good. So this is the day you did it, Venus moved into Sagittarius. So you probably have something with Venus and Sagittarius happening.
Yes. Let's go. I'm taking this down so I can do some homework after. But back to your point about, you know, doors and the universe, I think I got this from Big Magic, which is by Elizabeth Gilbert, one of the most amazing books for creators ever. But she, I think this is where I got this, but she makes a point to say, like, you cannot, like, the playing with the universe is a two-way street. You have to throw the ball and let it go, and something will come back. It might be huge. It might come straight at your chest. You might catch it with your mitt, or it might fucking hit you in the arm and hurt, or hit you at the feet, or go right by you. But like, you, exactly what you're saying, you cannot expect the universe to do anything unless you are willing to cut, to throw, to whatever it may be. So
I love when you talk about that in your posts and your,
yeah,
we're active engagers, right? So this experience mm-hmm. is hard. This experience is messy. This experience is confusing as fuck, mm-hmm. but it's our ability to consistently show up, which comes down to our openness, our heart. Like, no matter what the grief, no matter the pain, no matter the heartbreak, will you show up again? Will you show up again and again and again? And that's so important for us to recognize, is like, there's no way that any of us are going to get anywhere unless we're constantly having a conversation with what is, and what is out there is so ready for us. It's this powerful, untapped, limitless potential, but we ourselves have to say, yes, I have to show up in some way. But I want to make sure that's different than just the masculine show up, or even just the hyper feminine show up, right? There's different ways. I think sometimes we overdo that, like, go, 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 go. We see this a
totally.
Lot, right?
Yes.
That's the do. There's so many other ways to show up than the way that you currently know, right? That's
yes.
what I think is so profound to really shift into. It's like, okay, I'm showing up, universe, I'm showing up. It's like, well, there's maybe other ways to show up. There's mm-hmm. maybe other ways that we can explore what it means to engage with the universe other than just the doing, the physical.
Yes. Yeah. And this is another thing I'm going to drop in the show notes, because I was listening to this last night, but on Emily's podcast, I want to see what the title of it is, but it was one of your most recent episodes. about feminine, oh, the masculine and feminine duality with your friend Jacob Showers. That was so interesting and so good. And I was definitely somebody who thought that I was super feminine, girl boss all the way, doing all the things, do. And it wasn't until one of my friends, Kat Samilis, who is a therapist and somebody who was definitely there for me during my worst times during cancer, she taught me that. She was like, from what I know and from what I've seen, I think you've been showing up extremely masculine most of your life. I would love for you to kind of tap into that feminine. And at first I was like, no, hello, look at me. I love being sexy. I love, you know, doing this and that. And like, look at my beautiful hair that I was about to lose. And now I definitely get it. I definitely get it. So thanks to her for turning me, you know, into that world. And then, yeah, listening to that episode last night was really cool. So I will link that in the show notes, because that's a whole other topic that people should definitely check out.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It's like, what, and duality, like, it's a whole thing, because it's like, we as humans need duality to recognize, like, black and white, got it, I'm gonna find somewhere in the gray. But to really just understand masculine and feminine is such an important start, because it is a way for us to really say, okay, like, I can at least in my own human mind start to understand what it is to be masculine, what it is to be feminine. But then ultimately the goal is for us to be just so fluid that this is like, we're in and out, and we're feeling, you know, because some people will do better with way more feminine energy than masculine, even if they're a male or like identify as a male. So it's just so cool to like really, deep dive into what divine feminine truly is. And the best mirror for that is nature. Nature. That's it. It's nature. That's it. She doesn't have to talk. And when she wants to talk, she will. But she just is. She just is. It's just, it's so profound. It's so abundant. It's so life-giving. And it's so nurturing. And it's so loving. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to do. It's just consistent being. And never, ever feeling as if there's like a lack in self. Nature doesn't feel lack, you know, it's just constant abundant.
Yeah, or it adapts, you know, it, we've seen tree roots grow through cement. We've seen grass grow in places where it absolutely shouldn't. So yeah, nature, nature. Speaking of nature, let's go back to the retreat in March. That was, you've held other retreats previously, right?
So I did one a long time ago in Costa Rica, and then I did one in Estes Park. It had been before, like 2018. And so that was like my first kind of small intimate one. That
the
I
one
had
in,
done in that way.
In Yucca Valley. Okay, cool. So I feel like I'm curious about the behind the scenes of that. Like, how did you get to that? Because, you know, I get your emails and follow you and everything, and it just kind of felt like it came around the corner pretty quickly. And then me, I was like, okay, I'm going to apply, see what happens. Fuck it. And then I got it. And I was like, oh shit, I have to go. And then of course it was healing themed, which is so what I needed. And then just the openness of you physically, you know, opening your arms in a space for people to come in. But then also, I'll never forget our phone call of you kind of explaining some more details. And I've never been so open to the whole thing, including a plant medicine ceremony. So I'm just curious, like, what made you want to do that? Why did you want to open your arms? Do you want to do more in the future?
That's such a good question. Yeah, I think what really came through is that, one, I'm Cancer Moon through and through. I can hold space and I'm a nurturer. Like, I just want to, I just love people so much. And so when people are looking for support, and this is through whatever way they maybe follow, whether that's through social or email, there might be like, I think I need it this way. I think I need it in the routine, and I need structure. I need accountability, or I need the meal plan, or I need, you know, it could be whatever it is. But for me, I've been in this for so long and I can see so deeply. It's never that, right? There's always something deeper. And I had been asked, like, hosting a retreat and having a retreat and really feeling called, like, almost this insane message of, like, gather people for this weekend. And I didn't know where it was coming from, but I just had to do it. And it turned out, we talked about this a little bit at the retreat, that weekend ended up being the most bizarre astrological conjunctions and trines of gatherings that ever existed. Like, it was almost as if I was listening to the cosmos of like, all of us need to gather because we're going to gather and we need something to represent this in physical form.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is so what we need to do. And then thinking really deeply about how do we make sure, I'm pretty sure a hawk just flew by my window, by the way. That was insane. That was crazy. This ability for me to really say, okay, I know you guys want this in your head. This might be it, but there's so much deeper medicine that awaits. And I myself, no matter what people might think, there is no guru. There is no pedestal.
Yeah.
We are all so, every one of us has the same power. Every one of us has the same wisdom. Every one of us has this ability to tap into the same energy source. And I do not want to have a retreat where I am the guru. I am not the guru. I'm just here to guide. I'm a light post. I'm just something that is a step along the way. And there's no greater teacher, in my opinion. There's no greater therapist. I had a really good conversation about this last night about therapy and how therapy is so, so, so profound in learning how to express yourself and your needs. And at the same time, talk therapy can only get us so far.
Yes.
Talk therapy is limiting. It's all head. It's all ajna. It's all constant above your throat. So it perpetuates the cycles. And none of us need more cycles. We are already stuck in our cycles, our patterns. And there's nothing that helps us embody more than plants. And this could be as subtle as flower essences. It could be subtle as Tulsi tea. It could be matcha. It could be mushroom psilocybin. It could be ayahuasca. It could be anything that is being called to you. But for that moment in time, it was very clear that I wanted to be a guide in the plant medicine world of mushroom and psilocybin in a way that everyone in the room felt comfortable with, whatever that looked like. And because I can't tap into those feelings for you. I can pretend that I can help you in these ways. I can open those doors, but that's all physical. There's so much deep healing that awaits. And that's like mother mushroom, right? That's this ability to really go into the wound and feel so held in the wound. Mushroom is such a fast healer in that way because you feel so intensely and then it moves through, right? You feel years of emotion very quickly. And then it's soft and so feminine, and, you know, it's so protective and so you're so held in it. And I felt like that was what I wanted to embody. And then that was the mirror with the plant. And then it was just a yes. It was just a yes. And, it, you know, I don't know if I will do another one unless it's super called in, you know, unless it's asked for, unless it's wanted and desired, which I've always been, I'm always listening for that. But to hold space in that way was really important for me. And also, I'm so grateful that you were there. I felt like that was a really profound healing in so many ways. And it's just, you know, one step, but to have that in a community and to be safe around other women doing it, it was also a huge piece of the healing as well.
It really was. And I think you absolutely, like, you accomplished what you were called for. And as I was reading your birthday email, Emily said, like, I have three wishes for my birthday. And the last one, you said that for us all to recognize our unique gifts, purpose, and contributions to this world, and that we can find ways to see our service and our give back as ways to receive abundance. Like, that is what happened for me that weekend. So thank you for that, that springboard. That was one of the best, coolest, tearful, wonderful, beautiful, soft, held weekends I'd ever been a part of. And it made me want to seek out more opportunities like that. And I got to do that in 2023. And I definitely see myself doing more of that in 2024. So thanks again. It was just, it was the best thing. And I think it also, you know, obviously astrologically it was crazy, but I think it was so special with the souls that were there, the timing, the place. Oh, like, there will not be anything like that again. And that sounds really sad, right? Like, oh, I'm never going to be able to make another retreat like that. But it's the uniqueness of each soul and the energies that were there that it will never happen again. And I'm just so thankful that I got to be a part of it. It was awesome.
Yay. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I want to go a little bit more into the book because I have a book coming out, which is so, so exciting, so awesome. And so I want to talk about that because it's obviously on my mind a lot. And of course, you know, right in front of me, I have a freaking self-published author. So I got to ask some questions here. And I always felt that I would write a book, but I never knew what it was going to be about. And I had some ideas here and there. This was all pre-cancer, like had nothing to do with that. And, you know, when you think of writing a book, you're like, okay, it's either a novel or some kind of memoir, you know, because like what else do, or like science, like, you know, you do like a hardcore paper or something. But I remember when you were announcing your book and that it was coming out, I totally thought it was going to be a memoir. I totally thought it was going to be about your life, how you went from living, you grew up in Louisiana, right? No, Missouri.
Missouri.
Uh-huh. Missouri, you know, she ends up on this crazy show, succeeds at this crazy show, and then goes off and builds six different businesses. I was like, I'm ready for the behind the scenes, the details. And then the book comes out and it is not that at all. It's called The Process. And it, like, you just showed me that books do not have to be black and white text all over the page. Like, your doodles in here, she's got some pages that have a ton of words. She has some pages that have no words. There are doodles and drawings and all of that. And it's just so crazy to me that now my book is nothing like I thought it was going to be. It's a graphic memoir and it's completely different. So, okay, all that to say, I want to know a little bit about your process of creating the book and what do you hope readers take from it?
So I started finally writing out my thoughts on paper in probably 2016.
Okay.
I had a really hard time doing that before then. I felt like I would always start notebooks. This is kind of the intro of the book.
Yeah, like, yeah, I remember that a little bit.
Start notebooks and you think you're going to write and you just don't. And and then all of a sudden I found a very special notebook and there's no spaces. It was the perfect size. It's the exact same size of my written book. And it was green fuzzy velvet.
Cool.
I just fell in love. And I realized, like, oh my gosh, I just needed something to attach to. There was a perfect notebook waiting for me to find this routine of writing. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote. And I had probably 30 of them filled. And they were so pretty. So I would have them lined up on my bookshelf. And one day I just started opening them and reading them. And I instantly was just hit with so much emotion, so much love for myself, so much compassion in a way I never had experienced of who I am and how I experience things and who I am as I go through things and how I process things. It was just like, and so I just started notepadding and putting post-it notes and everyone that called me. And I was like, oh shit, this is my book. This is my book. So I just took all of my books and writings and put them into this form that was, in my opinion, the process that I think we all go through, which is we physically do. We go through the doubt of doing, then we get over the doubt of doing, then we get addicted to the doing, we get burnt out of the doing, and then we're like, where do I go? Then we go to the feel, and that's where I think mushrooms are so important, is this is where we really tap into the feel, the visceral, the unknown, the unconscious, the spiritual, which is how do I feel more? What are the things that have kept me from being present? Why don't I want to be present? Why do I constantly have to do, because I am avoiding this? And then we move into the knowing, which is the knowing of who we are and what we're connected to and this much greater thing at play other than our individual. And these three things really create what is the abundant manifestation potential that the human body has. Mm-hmm. And if we can really look at where in our life and have honest conversations about doing too much, feeling too much, knowing not enough, whatever that looks like in our own life, we can tap into some powerful shit. So from that place, that's when we make, that's when we create. And I think conscious creativity is not talked about enough.
No,
where we
totally.
We really look at how we create, where we're creating from. Are we creating from fear of financial abundance? Are we creating from fear of a deep insecurity? Whatever we talked about earlier, it's like, when we make something and we're creating from wholeness, from that balanced triangle of doing, feeling, knowing, what we create is limitless. It is reciprocal, and it is going to last forever in the ethers of what we want to do. But we live in a world with really shitty creations that are going to eventually fall apart. And so to take that responsibility in our own day to day and to really create from a place of wholeness is such a way for us to participate in a world that's going to be built upon wholeness and not be something that consistently serves some and not others. And it's just, it was such a pleasure to put together. I was with my best friend, Hillary, from, you know, we've known each other for 20 years. She did the sketches, and to even have that process of back and forth, I think you probably experienced, it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yes.
When we're in the creative, in the creative space, not because of what it's going to look like, but because of who we become in the process of creating.
Oh my gosh. I was just reflecting and journaling last night for the first time in a long time. And I wrote that down. I was like, I've had this same feeling when I've accomplished, quote, major things, the marathon, leaving my very comfortable job, finishing cancer treatment. I like get to the finish line. I'm like, meh, well, you know, anybody could do that. And like, that's obviously not true, right? But like, that's how I felt. And it really is about like the process of getting this thing done. Like now the book is available for pre-order, and in a few days it'll be available like for everybody publicly forever. And I'm like, yay, amazing, right? But like, it was like I wanted to pop the champagne like weeks ago when I moved through like really fun, intense, hard things in the creation of it. So yeah, I definitely feel that. So Emily's book is called The Process. It's available basically anywhere you get books, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mostly Amazon and then emilyschramm.com. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm putting together book number two.
Which I thought I saw a peep of that somewhere.
Yeah, which feels good. It, you know, when it's ready to come out, it comes out. But it's just such a gift to be able to create. I think that that's something that we all inspire. You inspire, I inspire. If we can inspire people to be more creative, that is it. That's totally it, you know?
Yeah, that definitely seems to be like your mission of things lately, which is really cool. Do you think, not to be presumptuous about your next book, but do you think you'll ever write a memoir style book, since you have had such a, I don't know, if like up and down, crazy roller coaster, unique life experience? Do you think that you'll ever want to write it all down?
Yeah, but like, I don't even think I've tapped into a tenth of what my life experience is going to be. Like, yeah. I'm about, you know, like I'm 35. I think I'm just getting started. So to me, a memoir wouldn't happen until, I don't know, 75. Like,
yeah.
I have so much to experience and explore. And there's just, my life has been so filled, but I know it's filled, not because of anything else, except this is just the beginning, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm there's too many more experiences, I think, to be had before memoir, but I appreciate that so much. I do appreciate that. And it's hard. I maybe some versions of mini memoirs within the grand scheme of things, but
yes,
I think I got too many years to, too many places to see and too much love to have and so much more heartbreak, and all of this is just too much in store for me.
Yeah. Which is really fucking cool that you feel that way, because years ago, what year did you win the challenge?
With Paula?
Yeah.
2014, 10 years ago.
Oh, because you've won it on the traditional version and then the champs versus challenge version, right?
Yeah, chances
okay.
The stars.
So
yeah.
The first time, like, you quite literally reached a mountaintop, and a lot of people would just be like, yep, that's it for me. I'm cool. I'm chilling. This was the height. Here comes the memoir. But I love that. I feel like when you get to the mountaintops of things and like, or the finish line of things, like I was talking about, you can either like keep trying to find these little handholds, and you have to be a little bit more intentional because now they're smaller because you've gotten to the top. The footholds were way bigger at the base of the mountain. And I'm so like excited, and you bring such positivity to like your life and others, but also that there is more for me. And I believe and I see that. And even when the world tells us to close, like, you still want to be open as Emily, which then, you know, encourages all of us to still want to be open. And I see a memoir in my future, but I agree. Like, I am so excited. I have a lot more to go. I totally thought my book was going to be a memoir, and now it's not. It's this colorful visual. I got to work with an illustrator too, like you did, which was so cool. Friend of mine as well. And yeah, I agree. Like, you don't know what the end is going to be. So just keep going, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. <That's> so good.
Okay. Let me see. Is there anything else that, oh, I mean, maybe you touched on this a little bit, but maybe to be a little bit more poignant, but what was like the number one lesson you learned from writing and publishing your book? I have an answer for this as well, but I'm curious what it was for you. Author to author.
No expectations. No expectations, which is really fucking hard because there's so much heart and so much love that goes into this. And it's such a piece of you that you get to put into the world, depending on what you write, but usually almost always.
Yeah.
That you have to be so content with how it became form that you don't care about anything else. It just is. And that's definitely something that is so beautiful, like to have, you know, a deep desire to write something and share something and yet be completely detached about the outcome can be a whole entire learning experience in and of itself. So that was my biggest lessons and understandings. And I don't know if that's advice, but definitely what comes up when you ask that question.
Yeah, no, I was curious what it like brought to you. I think my biggest lesson was, imperfect art is greater than no art at all. Like, that was my biggest lesson, because one thing that held me back from like actually pushing it, birthing it into the world was, I don't have a bunch of money to go do a whole bunch of paid ads and marketing. I don't have X. I don't have Y. I don't have enough money to do it in hardback. But then I just decided, like, oh my gosh, like, forget all of that. Like, it can either come out this way or never come out, or we just push it out imperfectly. Let's go. And imperfect's not the right word, because I got to give my author a ton of credit. This is pretty fucking perfect art right here. He did an amazing job, but I'm going to use what I have available and get it out there and be happy. And one of my first goals with it, actually, in opposition of what you felt, was, please let me break even to what I've invested on the book and what I hope it sells. But as I've gotten closer and closer to this, you know, finish line of getting it out there in the world, I definitely have also learned that lesson, that you have to put so much heart and soul and be happy and excited about this thing. And then you kind of got to do the other thing, which is pull back and let it go, let it be, let it fly. And I definitely came to that phase, because I wouldn't have done it otherwise. I would have been like sweating and like red faced and been like, okay, publish. I hope this works. And that's just not how you want to like give birth to something in life. You just want to like let it go, let it be. And that's where I'm at, and happy that it's going to be in hands of people soon or not, you know, whatever, but it's in my hands and I'm so happy about that. So
yeah, that's beautiful. That's so good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, like I said, at the beginning of this, I could spend 2 hours talking to you about a million other things. We didn't even touch on, your van life that you've had for the past a little over a year. So I'm just going to have to point you guys who are listening to go, you know, look at her social media, sign up for her email so you can learn more about that. Cause that's a whole other chapter of Emily that I think is so cool. So interesting. And I got to be on the little van map when you were in Indy. So that was really awesome.
That was so good. Yeah. You were one of my first stops.
Yeah. And then actually, did you go to Ohio? Is that where Hillary is?
So Ohio is where my designer Holly and
Website designer. That's right.
Yeah, my shaman Jennifer. Okay. Are in Ohio.
Fabulous. Love it. Love it. Midwest feminine people getting it done. I love
it. Totally. So true.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have for you for now. I mean, I could go on forever, like I said, but is there anything that I didn't ask or something that you feel called to share outside of all this?
Oh, no. I mean, just keep your heart open. That's the theme, I think, in all of our lives, and like really just asking for the support as needed, finding what resonates, what's that same vibration. I love this visual. I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram where there's this guy and he's got a two, let's say two statues prongs, and one of them is 440 hertz and it has a ball, and then the other one is 525 hertz and he's trying to hit one to get the other one to move, and it just won't move. And no matter how hard he hits, it's just not moving. But as soon as he brings in 440 hertz next to the 440 hertz, hits it, it moves. And so to really be in coherence in our own body and then externally with the people we're around, with our environment, with the way we wake up, the thoughts that we have, what we expose ourselves to, it's like everything. It seems so small, but these are like the things that if we all spent more time noticing, like, this, we can move the world within a day with how fast this coherence works, and how we can really tap into that within our own lives by feeling that resistance and understanding where it is, and just going deep in the shadow. So that's, I don't know where that came from, but to me, that's everything in this moment, is just like this call to action for us to like really, really listen in and be honest about what's around us, and to really call in the things that we deserve to be around us so that we can walk into that life and step into this role that we are all so ready to step into.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Is there anything you want to plug or point people towards? I was realizing as I was kind of looking at my notes, like, I'm going to put your podcast in the show notes, et cetera, et cetera. But is there anything you specifically would like to, you know, kind of point people towards as you're moving into new ventures, other things?
Yeah. Well, emilystrom.com is the best as far as getting on the newsletter and finding some podcasts. I have some fun, free creative challenges and nutrition things. And I do one-on-one work. If anyone is called to like really deep dive into their self and their wholeness that is, and that's been really fun. But also if you are interested in learning about the food infrastructure or growing food, www.joinpeel.com, like an orange peel, is my newest venture. That's been really powerful to really, participate in. So that's going to really be 2024's project for me.
Okay. I love it. Well, thank you for sharing. And I've started to check out the peel a little bit too. So I'm excited for you. And of course, you know, you always have a cheerleader supporter in me. So happy
thank
to.
You, Sarah. Yeah. Thank you. So much love.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for doing this with me and taking the time and the extra time, as I knew we would need. So good to catch up with you. I feel like we have to touch base like every 6 months at least, because other than that, it's just, it's too long of a space, but, thanks. I really appreciate it. It's so, so good to see you.
I love you, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you.
Love you too. And bye, Griff.
Have such a good day.
Bye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You made it to the end of the episode. So I'm going to give you a little surprise. I was recently published in the Wildfire magazine. It is the first and only publication for and by those who are too young to be affected by breast cancer. And you can go get this issue at a discount. So visit wildfirecommunity.org and use code WILDFIRE15, or even better, use the link in my social media, in the show notes today. And if you use that particular link and the code, you can not only save yourself money, but you can also earn me a little bit of money, as I get a kickback from every purchase used under Sarah's link. So go check it out in the show notes. The issue is themed The New Normal. And this is relatable for anybody who's been through some kind of storm in life and is trying to figure out who they are and who and what and how and why life goes on afterwards. So check it out. Go visit wildfirecommunity.org. Use code WILDFIRE15 to save on your version of a print or digital copy of the latest issue called The New Normal. Thank you so, so much for your support.